Imagine having friends so dear that they become your chosen family, people who've witnessed your highest triumphs and lowest moments across decades. This is the profound story at the heart of Crossing to Safety. We meet Larry and Sally Morgan, a young academic couple with modest means but boundless optimism, and Sid and Charity Lang, their wealthy, well-connected counterparts from established East Coast families. When these four lives intersect in 1937 at the University of Wisconsin, none could predict how deeply their destinies would intertwine through joy, tragedy, success, and disappointment over the next several decades. What begins as casual faculty friendship quickly transforms into something sacred and enduring. Through Larry's reflective narration, we witness how these relationships evolve from youthful exuberance to the wisdom and complexity of late-life friendship. The novel opens with Larry and Sally returning to Vermont to say goodbye to the dying Charity, then sweeps us back through their shared history, a tapestry of moments both ordinary and extraordinary that reveal how friendship becomes the scaffolding upon which we build meaningful lives. The initial dynamic between these couples reveals stark contrasts. The Morgans, Western orphans who struggled through the Depression, meet the Langs, who enjoy family wealth, prestigious connections, and established privilege. The Langs' spacious, maple-lined home contrasts sharply with the Morgans' basement apartment with its makeshift bookcases of boards and bricks. Yet these differences create not distance, but magnetic attraction. Larry captures it perfectly. "We were Western orphans adopted into their rich, reassuring tribe, asteroids captured by their gravitational pull and fixed in orbit around them." The Langs' generosity flows naturally, never condescending, while the Morgans contribute intellectual vitality and unvarnished honesty. What makes this friendship extraordinary is how it transcends surface differences. When Larry receives his first acceptance from the Atlantic, the Langs celebrate as if it were their own triumph, opening a cherished wine saved for special occasions. When Sally faces a life-threatening childbirth complication, the Langs maintain a hospital vigil alongside Larry, organizing care for their own newborn to support their friends through crisis. The relationship finds its most perfect expression at Battle Pond, the Langs' Vermont summer retreat. This artificial naturalness, a carefully curated wilderness experience maintained through considerable expense, becomes the physical embodiment of their friendship. Here, among weathered docks and pine-scented cabins, they create a sanctuary from professional pressures and family obligations. Days unfold with beautiful predictability. Mornings dedicated to work, the locomotive bell signaling swimming time at 11:30, afternoons for reading or exploration, evenings for intellectual conversation fueled by good wine and better company. They become four in Eden, experiencing a kind of paradise where friendship transforms ordinary moments into sacred rituals. Yet even in this carefully constructed Eden, imperfections surface. During a walking trip with a pack horse, Charity's controlling nature emerges when she insists on checking supplies against her detailed list, creating tension when T, present in the supplies but absent from the list, becomes a flashpoint. Sally's quiet intervention diffuses the situation, but the moment reveals the complex dynamics that will shape their relationship for decades. The friendship's most challenging dimension emerges through Charity's domineering personality. Brilliant, energetic, and fiercely devoted to those she loves, Charity nevertheless cannot resist orchestrating everyone's lives according to her vision. With Sid especially, this manifests as a lifelong pattern of control, dictating his career path away from poetry toward academic publishing, managing household responsibilities through rigid agreements, and even planning his remarriage after her death. During their Florence sojourn, these philosophical differences crystallize through their responses to Renaissance art. Sid argues that sin and suffering make more compelling artistic subjects, while Charity insists good art should provide uplifting models. This disagreement mirrors their life approaches. Sid embraces complexity and ambiguity, while Charity demands optimistic certainty. The novel asks us to consider, What price do we pay for love? Sid confesses his marriage has been a slavery I couldn't bear to part with, acknowledging both the constraint and the profound connection charity provides. Through this complicated relationship, we see how love often requires surrendering parts of ourselves while simultaneously making us more fully who we are meant to be. The novel's most powerful moments come when these relationships face mortality. Sally's early brush with death during childbirth creates a bond that transcends ordinary friendship. Later, when Charity faces terminal cancer, we witness how differently each character approaches life's final crossing. Charity meets death as she lived, with meticulous planning, fierce independence, and an unwillingness to surrender control. She refuses treatments that would merely prolong suffering, arranges a final gathering of loved ones, and creates detailed plans for everyone's futures. Her determination to die on her own terms reflects both tremendous courage and a heartbreaking inability to relinquish control. In contrast, Sally, who survived polio's devastation decades earlier, embodies a different kind of strength. Her quiet resilience and acceptance of life's limitations provide a counterpoint to Charity's relentless drive. Through these different approaches to suffering, Stegner shows us that there's no single path through life's most difficult passages. What matters is facing them authentically, supported by those who truly know us. What makes certain relationships transcend ordinary friendship? The novel suggests it's not shared interests or compatible personalities, but rather a willingness to witness each other's lives with unflinching honesty and unwavering presence. The Morgans and Langs create what Stegner elsewhere called a geography of hope, a relational landscape that sustains them through life's challenges. This deeper understanding of friendship shows it isn't just about enjoying good times together, but about witnessing each other's struggles, accommodating flaws, and helping each other become our best selves. Through decades of shared experience, from academic ambitions to illness and loss, these relationships become the scaffolding that supports meaningful lives. The title comes from Robert Frost's poem, suggesting that what we carry across life's boundaries, what we salvage from time's destruction, are our deepest connections. Each crossing represents both danger and possibility, with friendship serving as the bridge that makes safe passage possible. The most revolutionary aspect of this story is its celebration of ordinary lives' profound meaning. While Larry questions how to create compelling literature from quiet lives lacking conspicuous waste, violence, suburban infidelities, the novel itself demonstrates exactly how, through masterful attention to relationships' subtle rhythms. Small moments become profound. Tense conversations about motherhood, the erosion of youthful idealism, academic careers diverging despite parallel beginnings. These seemingly mundane events carry the weight of universal human experience. In our spectacle-obsessed culture, Stegner reminds us that life's most meaningful aspects often occur in ordinary connections, a midnight walk beneath Vermont stars, a shared meal of garden tomatoes, a hand extended in need. True courage lies in maintaining relationships, choosing kindness over righteousness, and facing disappointment without bitterness. Isn't this what we're all searching for? Connections that transform ordinary existence into something sacred. Crossing to Safety suggests that life's greatest achievement may be the capacity to form and sustain deep bonds with others who truly see us, flaws and all.